Good morning and welcome to another edition of Community Matters. My name is James Gage and I am privileged to be here this morning with Shannon Burke, who's the Director of Development at Wanderer's Rest, and with Vicki Arnold, who's the Adoption Coordinator. Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
We're doing good.
Well, I'm so glad to have you here. We've been talking about Wanderer's Rest here in the studio for a little while now, and I'm glad we finally got a chance to catch up with you and talk a little bit about what Wanderer's Rest is and what you do for the animals in the area. So first, let me ask this. I love a good name, and I think Wanderer's Rest is such a good name. Can you tell us at all where that came from or how the company stumbled upon that particular name?
It has to do with the fact that the original caretakers for the shelter, I guess, they felt that the animals who didn't have homes, who were displaced, who were strays, needed a place to rest. And because they had been wandering their lives, it became Wanderer's Rest. So it's a place for the animals, the unwanted or the lost.
Sure.
To stop wandering and come in and, you know, have a place where they can be safe.
Yeah, and that's really what Wanderer's Rest is all about. It's providing a safe place for animals. But it's not just about strays, from what I understand. Is that right?
Correct. We also take in dogs and cats that are unwanted, the owner surrender situations.
Sometimes it can be the owners have to move, and a lot of landlords, you know, sorry, we can't take that breed of dog. Or they're moving out of state, illness in the family, death, unfortunately, and the family members can't take on the pets that the person had. So they turn to us.
Are those the main reasons why people surrender their pets? Is because there's a move or something like that?
Sometimes it's financial. I mean, you know, with the way the world is today, you never know if your job's going to be secure. And sometimes you don't have the means to take care of a cat or a dog that you've had for even 10 years. Mm. And your feeling is that maybe by coming into Wanderer's Rest, bringing them to Wanderer's Rest, at least they have a chance to go someplace where they are going to be able to be taken care of and just find their forever home.
I mean, is there any level of judgment, would you say, when people come in and bring their pets, they can't care for them because of illness or because of financial situations? Should people feel like this judgment on your part? Like, you couldn't do this?
Truthfully, no. We would rather the animals be with us than someplace that they're not wanted or being, you know, able to be cared for. We know we have the donations and availability to take care of the pets, give them the medications they may need or the treatment they may need, feed them, shelter them. We're in cases they might not be able to have that. So if the pet is safer with us, it's probably the best option.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys take good care of them and try to find a home for those pets rather than keeping them there long term.
Right.
I think it's been a misconception for a while with Wanderer's Rest or maybe other animal shelters where if animals are brought in by dog control officers, that we want their dogs. You know, well, you have my dog because you want to keep it. Mm. No, we do not want to keep your dog. We want your dog to go home with you, to be in the home, you know, but we're just that safe place until you take care of what you need to take care of to come in and pick the dog up. Wanderer's Rest does not profit from the dogs coming in with the animal control officers. We have contracts with the different towns, so any fees that somebody pays when they come in to pick their animals up, those are the town's fees. Those are not Wanderer's Rest fees. So we're the collectors, but, you know, we're not the ones who set those fees.
Okay, and that makes sense. Well, let me ask you this then, while we're on that topic of surrendering pets, what if I found a stray cat or a stray dog and I can't take care of it? Can I bring it to Wanderer's Rest and will it cost me money?
First, we do all of our intakes by appointment. Because we want to make sure we have the staff there who can facilitate the intake. If it's a cat or a dog, there is going to be a fee, and that fee, unfortunately, is higher for people out of county, out of Madison County, because we are a Madison County shelter, mm-hmm. and we have to put those animals first, unfortunately. We set the fee I'll switch back to owner surrender for a minute. In owner surrender, the fees are different because if the animal is up to date on shots, has been spayed or neutered, that lessens the fee there. With a stray, we don't know whether or not the animal has had any vaccinations. We don't know if they've been spayed or neutered. We don't know if they're going to need medical care. That changes the surrender fee. We cannot take in an animal that is injured or sick knowingly. You know, if we know that this animal is severely ill or if it has a blatant injury, we can't take them in because we don't have a vet on staff.
I think that's a great distinction to make. Wanderer's Rest is not a vet clinic.
Exactly.
There's a big difference.
Exactly. We have no medical staff, and we pay all the same vet bills that you would pay, that the general public pays. We also pay those. And while we would like to be able to take in everybody, maybe at some point in time if we grow really big through Shannon's wonderful help, you know, we will be able to be like some of the bigger shelters and have a vet on staff. But we do have vets from different areas who come into the shelter once a week to do our vaccinations, our rabies, you know, just general health checks.
To assess the pets, the cats and dogs, and see how they're doing, if they're healthy, if they need more care.
So if you're not in the business of taking money from folks, and that money is mostly going to the county, how does Wanderer's Rest stay financially solvent?
Donations. We definitely look to the community to help us support through donations. We have a lot of fundraising events to raise money. We're constantly trying to raise awareness. We are the sole shelter in the county, so it's important. You know, everything will come to us that happens within that county. There's not other places where the animals can go, so we do rely on donations. It's a not-for-profit organization, so we work with a lot of wonderful companies in the area, so it does help, but, you know, we could always use more. The more funds we get, the more we're able to provide, and the more animals we can help.
So when people make a donation, you can know that that is going to stay local, it's going to help the animals, it's not going to a bigger conglomerate somewhere where it's being distributed.
100% it stays with us, and it just helps us help the animals.
So while we're on the topic of fundraising, and you had mentioned Archie's Fund to me before we started recording, tell me a little bit about what that is.
Archie's Fund is a fund that we started after Archie came into our shelter about a year ago. Young, beautiful dog, fantastic personality, and we knew that he just needed forever home. All of our dogs that come into the shelter are tested for heartworm. And unfortunately, Archie tested positive, and it was a high positive. In most scenarios, he probably would have been euthanized, but because of this dog's personality, we couldn't let him go, and we decided to treat him. I can tell you, Wanderer's Rest does not have money set aside for big medical cases, and there are a lot of times where shelter employees will actually pitch in. If the shelter can't afford it, employees pitch in to help pay for extended care. In Archie's case, we decided to do his treatment. He went into foster because heartworm treatment can be just as dangerous as the actual heartworm itself. So in order to treat him right, he had to go into foster. The shelter covered the costs. We had a vet that worked with us. They lowered the costs a little bit. And I am happy to say Archie is now heartworm free. He has been adopted by his fosters. They love him more than anything because we want to be able to continue to help animals that otherwise would probably have to be euthanized. We started Archie's Fund where people can come into the shelter or they can, through the mail, donate to that specific medical fund to help cover the needs that the shelter might not be able to. And we've been able to help some cats that had to have some dental work, which can be quite expensive, but you don't want them to be in pain. We have another dog her name is Diva, and she is heartworm positive, but it's a low positive, so we are going to treat her. Archie's Fund makes it possible for us to save some of these animals that otherwise might die or might have to be euthanized. And Wanderer's Rest does not believe in euthanization. So we're going to do everything we can to save these guys. And with the public's help, you know, we can do a lot more medical treatments that otherwise we might not have been able to.
That's lovely. And it gives people a chance to know exactly where that money is
exactly.
going to be going
yep.
to.
Yep.
Yeah. Can you take donations of other things besides money? If there's food, for example, that people
Absolutely.
Have that they want to surrender.
Absolutely.
Does that go a long way?
Yes. Always on our website, we've got a wish list posted. People can look at wanderersrest.org. We are always looking for blankets, sheets, bleach. Food is helpful. Gosh, any type of cleaning products, gloves, towels,
laundry soap. We do a lot of laundry.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's something I never would have thought of.
Right.
I'm sure most people wouldn't have thought of that.
No, but with all of the dogs and the cats there, everybody gets clean blankets every day. Sometimes it's twice a day, depending on what's going on. We do a lot of laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who's doing most of the laundry? Everybody?
We have staff. We have volunteers. One of the things that helps us survive the way we do is the volunteers, too. Because while the staff is busy doing the cleaning and feeding of the kennels and cages and those things, we have staff that comes in, or we have volunteers, I'm sorry, that come in and do dishes, do laundry. But at the same time, I mean, technically I'm the volunteer coordinator, but if I have a chance, I will go back, grab a cart of laundry, bring it up front, and fold it while I'm answering phones. And, you know, we're jacks of all trades there.
Right.
We do what we do to keep the shelter going and to make sure the animals are taken care of.
So you rely heavily on volunteers as well.
Very much so.
So how does somebody get involved with your volunteer program?
We do have an application on the website. They can feel free to go to that. They can just pop right into the shelter, fill out an application. They can be, I believe it's 14 if they come with an adult.
Yes.
16 without an adult, whatever hours they have available. We're open 365 days a year, so we appreciate morning, afternoon, evening help whenever they can.
So that could be a great opportunity for young people who have volunteer service requirements at school or
exactly.
scouts or
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't turn away somebody who's older who wants to come and help
out.
No,
not at all.
Absolutely not.
There's stuff
With
for
age
everybody.
Comes wisdom, so we'll take it.
There's a task for everybody.
Yes.
Laundry, a lot of the older volunteers that we have, you know, if they can't walk dogs and handle them because they're, you know, sometimes they're a little bigger or rambunctious, playful. They can help do laundry. They can help do even some clerical work in the office, filing, making phone calls for us. But we appreciate any help we get.
Anybody with a variety of skills can come and certainly mm-hmm. be useful.
Exactly.
Yeah. Even though younger children technically can't volunteer in the shelter, obviously insurance purposes. So that's why the 14 is the 14
up. The lower limit.
But the younger kids, we have one little girl in particular who's 11, and she comes in at least once a week and reads to the cats in the community room. Then she will go to the other rooms where the cats are in the kennels and read to them. So the younger kids can come in, they can participate, and it helps to socialize the animals. But also at our off-site events, they can also help volunteer at those. So we try to get the younger ones involved, and you would be surprised at the number of kids now coming into the shelter who have asked for gifts for the shelter, for their birthdays. They
really?
Don't want them for themselves.
Yeah.
The donations these kids bring in are amazing, and they're so happy to do it. You know, their eyes light up, and they're so proud. And the parents who are raising them, they should be very proud.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
So speaking of those off-site events that you have, is there anything coming up that we can let people know about?
The most immediate event we have coming up will be on Sunday, April 7th. It's going to be one of the paint and sip events that you see so much. Everybody goes and they get to paint. We're not painting on a canvas. We're going to be painting on a wine glass.
Oh, okay.
So it'll be at Theodore's right in Canastota, less than a mile from the shelter. People can sign up. We have a flyer posted on our website. There's also a flyer posted on our Facebook page. You can follow that. Deadline is April 1st to sign up for that, and space is limited, so hurry in.
So there's a few more weeks, but it's coming up fast.
Yes, they do tend to fill up quickly. People, they're fun. It's a great social event. The first drink is free, whether it be wine or soda. It doesn't have to be wine necessarily. It's a great location, and people have fun. It's a two-hour event from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., and it is fun. It's a good community thing, and it helps us, and they get to bring home a cool wine glass.
And you don't have to be Vincent Van Gogh to come.
Not at all. No, I am not Vincent Van Gogh, but I'll definitely be there, and I'll paint a wine glass.
Yeah, that's fun. That's great. Now, every year you also do a big event in the summertime called Woofstock. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's actually our biggest annual fundraiser that we have. We're working on it right now. It's August 17th at the
Jim Marshall Farms.
Yep. Not far from our shelter. Everything, again, you can find all the information and details on our website if you're not writing it down right now as you're listening. But it goes from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.,
yes.
I believe.
Yes.
It's a great event. You can. It's pet friendly. You can bring your dogs with you. It's family friendly. We'll have live bands playing. There'll be other vendors, food trucks. It's just a great event for the community to attend. And it also, you know, raises awareness for us and helps us get those donations that we need to help us keep going on.
Yeah, that's great. How important is it for this particular event for making sure that you have what you need for the rest of the year?
With it being our biggest fundraiser, Wanderers Rest used to hold other fundraisers that, I mean, obviously the economy plays a part in those having gone by the wayside, I guess, is the best way to say it. But Wanderers Rest with Woofstock, because it is such a community event, because it is a kid-friendly event, and with getting different vendors involved in it, that promotes the shelter, but it also shows the shelter. You have our shelter employees, you have our volunteers. Everybody is willing to come out and help and work together and pull this thing off. You have the community who is doing their donations. Shannon just mentioned the live bands. I'm going to throw this out there for anyone who's listening. We have one band available right now. We are looking for a second band. And we just would like anyone to remember we are a nonprofit, so we, you know.
And family friendly.
Yes. So
exactly.
So, you know, if anyone's interested in lending a hand, coming out, having a good time, and, you know, maybe getting a little bit of exposure for their local band and do something great. You know, the shelter will advertise that they're going to be there. And it would be a big help if we can get more music there. Hopefully we can get, obviously, the people who follow the bands.
Yeah, sure.
So, and it's just, it's a way for us to know that we are doing everything we can at that moment in time to promote the shelter. We're not going to get rich. We understand that. but we're promoting the shelter. We take donations at the event also, as far as what Shannon mentioned earlier, the items, the bleach and blankets and sheets and towels, all those things. People can drop them off there. Well, they're having a good time.
Right.
We'll also bring a lot of our animals from the shelter who are available for adoption. And I find that people who have adopted from us in the past will bring their pets. We'll have some alumni showing up. And it's good to kind of follow up and see how they've been doing since they've adopted one of our Wanderers Rest pets. And see how they've done. It's just a good testament for us to show that we're doing All the right things we can for the animals.
And can I say, one of the things that we added last year, which was quite a big hit, is we had a dunk tank.
Oh.
And in that dunk tank, we were lucky enough to get the local dog control officers to volunteer to sit in that dunk tank. And last year's Woofstock was on a very chilly day. But you would be surprised, or maybe not, at the number of people who are willing to pay $2 to throw the balls to try to dunk the person who may have, in helping their animal out, picked their dog up and brought it to the shelter. You know, people were in line. This year, we're probably going to get a few employees to also sit in there. So if you have somebody that you've known since childhood and you really just want to see them drop into that nice cold water, stop in and see us, and we'll be more than happy to let you throw the balls at them. I probably will spend the majority of the time in the dunk tank. If it's by request,
if it's
they're
by
gonna
request.
Want me.
Well, I love that you brought up the adoption. We've talked about incoming pets, surrendering pets, and things like that. But primarily you would love to have people adopt these pets, take home and take care of at their own homes. So walk us through the adoption process for these animals.
We have applications available online. Okay, before the first thing for anybody to do pretty much would be to fill out the application. Once you fill out that application and it's processed and approved, we keep it on file for 6 months. There are some people who will say, well, I really wanted this dog, but he's not there now, so why should I do the application? Well, because if you fill this application out, I keep it on file. You might find the love of your life 2 months from now, and that's gets you one step closer. We will not, even if you're approved, we're not going to schedule an adoption if you haven't met the animal yet. I have people call all the time, and they'll say, oh, I saw the most beautiful cat online, and I just fell in love, and I have to have her. Well, have you come in to meet her? Well, no, but I love her, and I want her. Well, okay, this is what we're going to do. You know, we're not going to adopt a pet out sight unseen because we want to make sure it's the best fit. And at the shelter, we do reserve the right. It's not always first come, first serve. It's best fit. If you came in and you fell in love with one of our dogs and we didn't think that you might love the dog, it might not love you. You know, if we didn't think it was going to click, we're going to steer you nicely into another direction to get that match so that the dog stays out of the shelter. We don't want to do an adoption and have that animal come back. I love my job. I love to make people happy. I do make people angry. I will admit that. But there, my favorite days are when I have 6 to 10 adoptions lined up and I can just whip through them and I can see these animals go and I can see, it sounds so cliche, but an animal being adopted from the shelter, when you look in their eyes, you can see the gratitude. They know. And it's different than going to a pet store and buying a puppy. These animals are so grateful. And they are going to love you forever. You know, no questions asked. They are going to love you forever. And I get to help that happen. But obviously, I can't do it without all of the staff at the shelter. I told somebody a while ago, we have an amazing crew there. We have a great group. And we do wonderful things for a small shelter. But nobody does anything on their own. Right. And Wanderer's Rest is a village. You know, and it takes a village. That's what we are.
What are some of the things that you take into consideration when trying to connect an animal with a potential adoption?
As far as personal or as far as the application goes, which with the application, if you own your own home, we want to check that. If you rent, we always, always get the landlord's permission for the simple reason that we don't want the animal to come back because the landlord
people forgot
saw
to check
it and said no. Right. If you've had pets in the past, we check with your vet because we want to make sure that your previous pets or current have been given the vet care that they need. Are they kept up to date on their vaccinations? You know, those are a big thing. As far as connections, you can just tell. You can tell when something's clicking. If somebody comes in that we don't feel for, whether it's health reasons or physical reasons, could not handle one of our bigger dogs, that, you know, the dog needs a firm hand, and then we're going to steer that person to a dog more suitable, maybe a calmer dog,
something
a dog
more
that's
manageable.
More leash trained,
right.
Because we don't want them to feel bad if it doesn't work out, and we don't want them to come back to the shelter. Sometimes it's a fine line. You make a lot of friends, but you can still make the enemies, you know. And
that's
but,
why you're in the dunk tank.
Well, yeah, it is, too. And I need to say, I mean, with me, my priority is I want the people to be happy. My priority is the animals. You know, they come first and foremost.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
And a lot of families have other pets at home. So we need to make sure that they're all compatible. Yep. I myself have 3 dogs. It's kind of what happens when you work in a shelter. You collect them.
Yeah.
But I needed to make sure that all my dogs were compatible. Some people want to bring a cat home with their dog. Sometimes it works
exactly.
And sometimes it doesn't. So you have to make sure that's a good fit as well.
Yeah.
And if they do have dogs, and like if Shannon wanted to adopt from us, once she was approved, we would schedule an appointment. But she would have to bring her dogs to the shelter to meet the dog that she was interested in.
Interesting.
We do meet and greets all the time. And sometimes the dogs love each other and sometimes not so much.
And it's great to check that before they come into a home and now it's a situation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's say there's somebody who wants to help out but can't be a pet owner long term. Is there a fostering program that you have at Wanderer's Rest?
We do have a foster program. We're always looking for people who would like to help us in that program. Similar to our volunteers, we're always looking for foster families. Where we do have pets that, you know, they're adoptable, they're available, but we like to keep them in a foster home to see how they work outside of a shelter, see how they fit in the home. Are they good on leashes? Are they good in the home? Are they house trained? How do they get along with other pets? So that way we can help make them more adoptable when folks come in.
Shifting gears a little bit.
Kittens.
Kitten season is coming up. No, why kitten season?
So we always use fosters for the kittens because we would rather have the kittens and their moms in a home outside of the shelter to keep them healthier, to hopefully make sure that everybody, you know, nobody gets sick, and it socializes the kittens from birth.
Right.
So we always, always are looking for fosters for kittens.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And do the youngest pets, the kittens, the newborn puppies, the newborn cats, are they the hardest to keep track of, to keep care for at the shelter?
Oh, it takes more work. I mean, obviously. I mean, have you had experience with a mama dog and 8 puppies? Yeah, no. They do really well in foster care.
Yeah.
We love them, and everybody's always so excited. Puppies, puppies. And then after 2 days, they're like, when's the foster coming?
Yeah.
Just because it is that much more work.
And, it's a lot of work. You know, it's like having a baby. You have
only
to,
it's 8 of
but
them.
No, it's having 8 puppies. 8. Yeah, 8 babies. Yeah, and they all need to be fed and brought outside.
Yep, they have special needs, special care. Can't just run around with them outside.
We also have our fosters who become what we call foster fail, which is they are fostering a litter of kittens, and out of 6 kittens, they adopt 3.
Oh.
But we love our foster fails. Just as much as we love our fosters and our regular adopters, you know. If you have a litter of puppies where they obviously fall in love with the mom, and a lot of times it's the mom they adopt, and the puppies come to the shelter and get adopted out. Our foster fails are wonderful. Hmm. Would you like to be one?
That's a great way. It's a great way to fail.
Did you see how he just?
Mm-hmm. It's a commitment, though. So we, you know, we don't want to push animals on everybody. It's definitely a commitment, financially and physically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important, like Vicki was saying, to make sure that the family's fit, that the it's a good fit when we adopt our pets.
When are most people, what season, what time of the year are most people looking to adopt a pet?
Usually, I would say
Christmas.
You get the push at Christmas time for kittens. But Wanderer's Rest will not adopt an animal out as a gift. What I recommend to people, like the ones who want the kitten for their Christmas present for their child, is first of all, it would be cruel to do that to a kitten or a puppy or even, you know, an older cat. Because you're taking them from the shelter environment where they know everything's a routine. And then to put them into the chaos of Christmas, Christmas morning, packages everywhere, people stepping everywhere, things they can chew that they've never seen before. I personally would have to imagine that vets see more instances of injury and possibly poisonings during those holidays. And mentally, to do that to a cat or a dog, we just don't do that. What I suggest to people is if you want to get your child a kitten for Christmas, come into the shelter, look at some of the kittens here, take pictures. Put those pictures in a box, in the bottom of the box, and put anything you might want for a kitten. And tell them, guess what? You're going to get a kitten for Christmas, but you and me, we're going to go pick it out together. It's going to be a family thing. We're going to make sure you love this kitten.
Right, and in that way, you can make sure that this is a child that wants to take care of an animal,
right,
and he's capable of that.
Exactly.
I imagine you run into giving a gift to a child who could care less or has not the inclination.
Right. But even adults. I mean, we have had people call to surrender puppies that they were given at Christmas time. They didn't get them from our shelter. Hmm. But, you know, a 75-year-old woman who has 2 8-month-old little dogs, but she can't take care of them. Well, how did you? Oh, my daughter gave them to me as a gift. And I know she meant well, but it wasn't a gift that was wanted. I mean, you know, we don't deal with anything other than cats and dogs at the shelters, but it's the same thing with rabbits and little chicks at Easter.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about puppies and kittens, but I imagine there's a lot of older animals, more mature animals that are at Wanderer's Rest who also need homes. How do you find the right place for these older animals that might be nearing the end of their life?
Sometimes it's a foster situation. The majority of the time, you have this person who comes to the shelter, and they have this picture in their mind of what they want. And then they walk through the dog runs, and they see the dogs, and the picture of what they thought they wanted goes right out the window. They'll see the dog that's sitting quietly in the corner while everybody else is jumping, saying, look at me, look at me. And, you know, and that's the dog that speaks to them. When it comes to the cats, a lot of the older cats, some people don't want the kitten that's going to climb the curtains and, you know, do all of those fun things that kittens do. And we laugh when it's in somebody else's house and we see it. But we have people who specifically want to help our seniors.
Is it harder for an animal that's a senior to acclimate to a new home?
No. No, how it can't be hard to acclimate to love.
Oh, that was good. Thank you. And it's true. High five. It's true. The senior dogs are so appreciative because a lot of times if their owner has passed, they've been used to having their own little home and their beds, and now they're in a strange situation. So they're wonderful. I mostly adopt senior pets because I like them because they're calm. They're house trained. they're just snuggly and so appreciative. You know, sometimes they do come with health issues, but that's to be expected with anybody who gets older. And we make sure that they're going to the right family that can take care of them and handle any issues that they might have. But typically it's not too hard.
Right. Now, as we're coming to the end of our conversation here, let our listeners know what's something you want them to consider as they think about adopting a pet or bringing a pet in. What's something that they should be considering with all of their pets and the care that they provide for them?
That hopefully it's a lifetime commitment. That you're not getting a pet, you're adding to your family. So, I mean, the majority of the time when I talk about the animals at Wanderer's Rest, I call them our four-legged residents because I hate the dog, cat, kind, you know, it just, but when you're adding to your family, it's a lifetime. It's not until they outgrow their puppy cuteness or until you find out they're going to have a medical problem. They're there with you forever. And like I said, the gratitude that you can see in the eyes of these animals as they're leaving the shelter, it's there. I'm going to go off track for a second here. I have a foster cat from the shelter. I've always been a dog person. I lost both my dogs last winter. But we had a cat come into the shelter in June who had had a horrific injury. Most shelters would have euthanized him. But his personality... He was just, even though he had this large wound on his neck, he was so lovable and so gentle. And so we treated him for 6 months. We treated him with raw honey on the wound, what the vets recommended. Then he got moved up front. His name's Pickles because he came into the shelter in a pickle. He got moved to one of our cat condos up front where I sit. And I just fell in love with him. So I am now fostering Pickles, and I could tell when I got him home that he had it rough with people, because if you moved your hand too quickly a certain way, he'd flinch, or when he first got home, if you got up to walk, he'd run. So obviously, you would think maybe he'd been kicked or, you know. Mm. He has now turned into a dog. He follows me everywhere I go. He is the most lovable, caring, I mean, just... gentle cat that I love him, you know? And for me, a dog person, to now have this 17-pound cat dog in my home, and I can't imagine it any other way. I just cannot imagine it any other way these, and I think he picked me. He conned me.
He did. He was a long con. Yeah. So there is hope for dog people to become cat people.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I think is the takeaway from the story.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, thank you both so much for being here this morning with
us.
And
thank you for having
we
us.
We hope a lot of people check out the Paint and Sip fundraiser that's coming up in April. And, of course, Woofstock, the big, the big event happening in August. Check out the Wanderer's Rest website to get more information about those two events.
Like us on Facebook.
Make sure you do that.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.